Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Blackwater runs for Senate. We got that story, plus the not at all stunning conclusion to the Catalonian crisis. But first, as the House of Weinstein falls with the quickness over in Hollywood, I'm reminded, James, of our year-end episode at the end of 2014. Now, I had to actually go dig this up. I didn't remember it off the top of my head, where my future trend prediction was, quote, full disclosure and the further exposure of the so-called elite. I was specifically at that point talking about the UK's Pedogate scandals and the then recent Sony hack. I have to say now here 3 years later, the hits just keep on coming. From the IB Times, Clooney asked to spy on Gaddafi, Jolie on Kony. George Clooney was asked to spy on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and his generals in Libya. Leaked documents from the International Criminal Court in The Hague have revealed the ICC's former chief prosecutor, Luis Moreno Ocampo, asked George Clooney for help in bringing war crimes committed by Colonel Gaddafi and his generals during the Libyan civil war to light. A series of leaked emails seen by the Sunday Times revealed how the Argentinian prosecutor urged the Hollywood actor to focus a number of commercial satellites on Libya and put pressure on Gaddafi generals by documenting evidence of humanitarian crimes. Clooney is the co-founder of the Satellite Sentinel Project, which uses commercial satellites to document war atrocities committed by the government in South Sudan. Mourinho Ocampo's offer was declined by Clooney, who wrote in an email that the satellite was not yet sophisticated enough to carry out the proposed operation. I'm not a tool of the state. No, he said, they're not good enough yet. The actor's not the only celebrity Mourinho Ocampo tried to recruit in his attempt to prosecute some of the world's most notorious warlords and dictators during his 9-year term at the helm of the ICC. He also enlisted the help of actress Angelina Jolie in a plot to snare Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony at a honey trap dinner. The prosecutor wrote in an email that Jolie had the idea to invite Kony to dinner and then arrest him. He planned to send Jolie and her husband Brad Pitt to the warlord's stronghold with U.S. Special Forces. According to the leaked documents, there are no further details in the documents about the proposed dinner, which appears not to have gone ahead, as warlord boogeymen apparently have a much longer shelf life than Holly weird marriages. James?
So yes, to be fair to Clooney, not that I care about Clooney, but it wasn't his idea, and he ultimately said no, for whatever reason. But Jolie, yes, came up with this idea herself, apparently. Hey, I know, let's have a big Hollywood banquet gala, and I'll be the star, and we can invite Kony, and he'll come. What kind of ridiculous, Acme, you know, Wile E. Coyote level scheme is this? My God. Anyway, of course it didn't happen, and one can imagine Kony's schedule is full up with other things, like pretending to still be alive, instead of, you know, attending dinners by Angelina Jolie. So just utterly stupid, ridiculous, harebrained schemes, but these are the kinds of schemes that are constantly being dreamt up by the likes of Luis Moreno Ocampo, and if you do not know Ocampo, please go type that name into my search engine, and you'll see that I have mentioned him a number of times, like in my article on the ICC Exposed, or on my episode, my podcast episode in international law, or on my GRTV background, or on the assassination of Gaddafi, because he was the one who was spreading that ridiculous, Gaddafi was giving Viagra to the troops so that they could do the raping rampage across Libya. Nonsense that was, of course, it wasn't even just debunked, it was completely retracted from the historical record. It was all over the 24/7 news cycle because, oh, this ICC prosecutor is alleging this based on no evidence whatsoever. Oh my God, oh, Gaddafi, he's the worst human being who's ever lived on the planet. And then, you know, a couple of news cycles later, it just disappeared. What story? Viagra to the troops? What? I've never heard of that. So this Ocampo character, I haven't heard of him in the last few years, but certainly at the time of Libya, around that invasion, he was all over the place, lusting after Gaddafi and trying to dismember him and his family as quickly as possible. So those are the types of characters that are behind harebrained schemes like this and putting it all together. And we need to keep our eye on these people because they are constantly coming up with these kinds of ideas and they're happy to use Hollyweird to do it if they can.
James, I've got a rack of relateds. I can run down the list here. And the Ivy Times has a whole separate article just on the Angelina Jolie story. And of course, everything we say will always be included down in the show notes. Angelina Jolie offered to help snare Coney in Honey Trap Dinner. Now, I'm also reminded, as we're looking at celebrities and folks who might be involved in parapolitics, James, you very recently published a pretty awesome one, Five People You Won't Believe Worked for the CIA. One of them, of course, including, of course, Julia Child. Now, when I looked up Luis Mourinho Ocampo, I went to History Commons, where they do have the complete 9/11 timeline and a lot of other interesting just sort of contextual data points you can kind of search around. They only actually had one entry on him, so I'm glad to include your entries, James. His only entry on History Commons notes that the Bush administration's withdrawal from the ICC actually strengthened the court, which I found kind of amusing. We'll also include links to more about the Satellite Sentinel Project, more about George Clooney and Angelina Jolie on the Council on Foreign Relations' own website. And James, a good flashback from you, and a couple of New World Next Week flashbacks. CFR Clooney raised $15 million for Hillary and the DNC, and then denounced money in politics a day later. Oh, those were back in the heady days pre-Trump, I suppose. And all the other links that I went over, James. It's a little bit ridiculous at times, and it makes the head spin. So, speaking of ridiculous, we'll go to our second story this week on New World Next Week, episode 324 for October 12th, 2017. Eric Prince is considering challenging a Republican senator from Wyoming in a primary next year. Where did he get such a great idea? Steve Bannon had urged Prince to run for the seat now held by John Barroso, an ally of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, all as part of an effort to shake up the so-called Republican leadership over here in the old Congress critter game. Prince, it should be noted, is a former Navy SEAL and brother of U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, who incidentally was actually here in Oregon today, not, of course, in the city of Portland, where she probably would have been yelled at and had things thrown at her. She was way outside the city in McMinnville, interestingly enough. Prince founded the company formerly known as Blackwater. Some of its guards have been convicted of killing 14 unarmed Iraqi civilians at a Baghdad traffic circle in 2007, as Reuters writes, an incident that outraged Iraqis and inflamed anti-U.S. sentiment around the world. Prince has told his sister DeVos that he'd like to run against Barroso, a person with knowledge of the conversation said, as he's already traveled to Wyoming to investigate how to attain residency. North Carolina-based Blackwater was sold and renamed several times after the Baghdad incident. It is now currently called Academy, with an I. It at some point was called ZXE, and it is based, as most spook operations are, at least publicly, in Northern Virginia. Eric Prince later co-founded FSG, a separate logistics security and insurance provider. A company spokesman had no comment on the Times report. James?
Well, yeah, exactly. Speaking of filling the swamp. So, yes, for people who don't know about Eric Prince's post-Blackwater career, I suggest they check out my interview 1154, where I talked to Michael Krieger of LibertyBlitzkrieg.com about the crazy stories surrounding this Frontier Services group that were swirling around at that time. And they even became more crazy in the intervening time. And you can head to interview 1248, where I talked to Douglas Valentine, famed researcher of the CIA, about the resurrection of the Phoenix program and Eric Prince's part in that. So Prince is like some sort of turd that refuses to flush down the bowl. It keeps popping back up. So I have a feeling that in the Trump era, we're going to be seeing this name more often, even if not in the U.S. Senate context, but hopefully not. Of course, we might have reported this on New World Next Week. At any rate, I have talked about it. Prince was the one who was behind the idea that Afghanistan, we should be sending in private armed security forces to go in there instead of the military. Let's replace them with contractors. Like, oh, I don't know, my contractors, hey. So, yeah, this is just straightforward horror nightmare that this guy just refuses to go away. But strangely enough, there are certain quarters of the so-called erstwhile once independent alternative media that now praise people like Eric Prince because he's one of the good guys, because he's on the Trump train. Just cannot make this up. It's so insane. It's so insane. But that's well, the world we're living in 2017, I guess, right, James?
I was going to say, yeah, luckily for us here in the States, there is now a person with an R after their name, so there will actually be a segment of the population that gets really mad about this story. A quick scroll down my own search results of just typing in Blackwater on MediaMonarchy.com, I just in the quick glance had Monsanto hired notorious security firm. Blackwater received millions of dollars to train CIA teams. Blackwater schooling Taiwan secret police. And let's not forget the classic of what happened in New Orleans, where Blackwater guards pointed guns at Americans after Katrina. Speaking of pointing guns at people, our third and final story this week, again from Reuters. After a massive show of uprising, Catalonia bails on formal independence declaration. Catalonia's leader balked at making a formal declaration of independence from Spain, calling for talks with Madrid over the region's future in a gesture that eased fears of immediate unrest in the heart of the Eurozone. There's so much that's very telling in this story, James. I like it. You know, it's from Reuters, so they've got it all in there. In a much-anticipated speech to the Catalan parliament, ringed by thousands of protesters and hundreds of armed police, Carles Puigdemont made only a symbolic declaration, claiming a mandate to launch succession but suspending any formal steps to that end. His remarks disappointed many of his supporters who had gathered outside, waving Catalan flags in the expectation that he would move a formal independence motion to the assembly. But the speech pleased financial markets, boosting the euro on hopes that his gesture would mark a de-escalation of Spain's worst political crisis since the last time nothing really actually happened. Tensions had been climbing in Catalonia since it went ahead with an October 1st vote of the independence referendum that Madrid had said was unconstitutional. They had a violent police crackdown. Catalan officials said the result was an overwhelming yes. But instead of moving a motion in regional parliament on Tuesday, as this was all supposed to move forward, as Spanish unionists were fearing it, Puigdemont and other regional politicians signed a proclamation of full sovereignty for Catalonia. Its legal value was unclear. This is thrilling. I'm disappointed. I hoped for a declaration of independence, and it didn't happen, said a heartbroken 18-year-old student among a crowd of independent supporters who were rolling up their flags and drifting away from the assembly. In Brussels, though, there was a sense of relief as the Eurozone's fourth largest economy now had at least bought some time to deal with the crisis that was still far from over. Bum, bum, bum. Just, it really looked like, man, they were going to swoop in and lock them up and drain the swamp and hope and change and hallelujah. And then at the end, when the rubber meets the road, it's a giant farce. And possibly the most fortunate thing that can come out of this is the same thing that can come out of America's next top president. I forget exactly who said it, but it's maybe important for every generation to have their hearts broken politically, because there is no political solution. James?
Yeah, vote yourselves to freedom. That's worked precisely never in the history of humanity, and didn't work this time either. What enrages me about this story is all of the people who, a couple of weeks ago, were pretending to care about the Catalonian people and their struggle and everything, are now just going to shrug their shoulders and walk away and, they gave it a good old college try. And they'll go, the next time there's some referendum or some vote, hey guys, you can vote yourselves independent. Everyone will get excited again, as if, oh, this is the solution. Wow, yay, they're going to let us vote. And literally, it is the people who put their lives on the line, who are literally being beaten by the police thugs of the Spanish police force, the police state, with the jackbooted thugs, literally beating old women and throwing them downstairs and all that craziness that we saw. People literally putting their lives on the line so that they can line up and tick a box and then have some politician tell them, we're entering a dialogue. We're entering a political dialogue. Exactly as happened, for example, with Syriza. And everyone outraged, stick it to the EU. We're not negotiating with them. Hey, a referendum. Woo! And then they have this overwhelming mandate and they go, we're going to negotiate a process with the EU. Never. Politicians never ever are going to give you freedom. That's not what they're doing. That's not the game they play. You are not going to get it at a ballot box. Stop getting excited about votes and referendums and, oh, well, we'll have a government over top of us that's Catalonian in name. That'll be better than a government that's EU in name. It's the same crooks and criminals and psychopaths and mobsters, whether they're in Brussels or whether they're in Catalonia or anywhere else, and all they want is for you to legitimize their game by signing off on their dotted line. Stop doing it. Stop putting your lives on the line so that some politician can sleazeball his way up the ladder and get a cushier position. We see it time and time and time and time and time again. When are people going to learn?
Perhaps to drive this point home with giant sledgehammer, James, our final story. President Trump meets with Dr. Kissinger. Again. In other news, no new taxes. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Nobody could have predicted they would have used planes as weapons. I actually, you were mentioning of the Spanish guards beating the crap out of people. I did actually run a quick search to see if I could find anything on Blackwater trains, Spanish troops. I didn't find anything initially, but that's essentially the same idea. James, I think that puts this episode to bed, and I'll just leave it by saying I do a broadcast Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Pacific time at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. It's independent, non-commercial, alternative news, music, and so much more. And you can find all the links and support our work, both of our works, at MediaMonarchy.com/support and CorbettReport.com/support. James.
All right, I hear there's no New World next week, but hopefully 2 weeks from now.
That's true. This is true.
All right. Talk to you then.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks.